in the presence of the Lord. Whose number you working with? Now, for those of you who are educated, sophisticated, and bourgeois, it would be, whose number are you working with? My brothers and sisters, numbers are very significant in the revolving and the function of the affairs of humanity. You cannot really do anything worthwhile on this planet Earth without involving numbers. If you go to school, you're going to study geometry. That science, or that study in mathematics that deals with the measurement of lines and the relationship between points, you have to deal with numbers. You studied trigonometry, that study and idea that deals with triangles and the understanding of the relationship of circles. You have to deal with numbers. If you're going to study astronomy, the science that deals with the phenomenon of the universe, matter, you have to deal with numbers. You're going to study biology. The science that deals with life and birth, you got to deal with numbers. I remember when my wife was pregnant with our first child, we heard first trimester. That's a number. Second trimester. Third trimester. Matter of fact, our government for the last few weeks have been dealing with numbers. We got to pass this budget. One group says the numbers just won't work. The numbers won't add up. And then for those of us who used to dabble in things of the world before the government took over the gambling business, we used to talk about running numbers, because we understood that if you had the right number, the rent would be paid, a new car would be bought. Numbers, my brothers and sisters, are significant to the vitality of our existence. And this is not anything illicit or strange, even though the devil has taken this idea of numbers and abused it. Today we have these people that are working on Wall Street, these powerful bankers and social media moguls that are creating these apps, Facebook and FaceTime and YouTube and all. They deal with numbers. They're called algorithms. They try to punch in certain numbers that will calculate what will cause people to follow them or to log on. And it is from those calculations that they sell you, even those who advertise on television, the businesses. It's all about numbers. But my brothers and sisters, don't be shocked that the God of the universe has a unique way, my brothers and sisters, of memorializing his actions and influence in the affairs of men by particularizing times and numbers. So this thing about numbers in the existence of our world is not something that came out of evolution, but something that was brought by God himself. Of course, people have adulterated it, and you got these astrologers now, you know, counting the stars, you know, Sagittarius and Gemini and all of this. And I'm not talking about that foolishness that the enemy has used, but I'm talking about God's numbers. The first time, my brothers and sisters, that we encounter God memorializing his influence in the affairs of his creation is in Genesis chapter number 1. If you read Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 5 through 31, 6 different times you see the redactor consistently dealing with time and numbers. The evening and the morning time was the first day number. The evening and the morning time was the second day number. I wish somebody was listening to me. The evening and the morning time was the third day. And then it goes to the fourth day and a fifth day and a sixth day. God was memorializing. God was putting on record, so that mankind will remember that he is the Genesis, the initiator, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is in it. Then we go to Genesis chapter number 2 and verses 2 and 3. And here we see the redactor again continuing this memorialization of the influence and the actions of God in his creation. He said, and on the seventh day, that's number, God completed his works which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day. He rested. The redactor used numbers 3 different times to memorialize what God has done. God completed his work on the seventh day. God rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's God's number. God was making sure that nobody is fooled by this idea that we came from evolution, that we came from apes, we came from some amoeba. No. God was saying, I'm going to let you know that everything that you see, I did it. And I'm going to memorialize it with particular times and particular numbers. The Bible says God rested on the seventh day. God wasn't tired. But God says, I'm going to put the seventh day aside as a memorial of the fact that I stood out of nowhere, stood upon nothing and reached back into nowhere and pulled this universe out of nothing and flung it into its orbit. I did it. And every seventh day, you should remember that I am the creator of heaven and earth. I wish somebody was listening to me. My brothers and sisters, I stopped by to tell you that God has a unique way of memorializing his influence and his actions in the affairs of men, and he uses numbers to show men what he expects of them. I wish I had the time to spend on talking about the number 40. Brothers and sisters, God used that number to memorialize his influence in the affairs of mankind. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 7 and verse 4, after mankind had sinned and sin had become rampant on the earth, God called a man called Noah and told him, Noah, I want you to build an ark, and I am going to send down rain. And Genesis chapter 7 verse 4 memorializes that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. That number 40 is significant. It is a particular number. God was memorializing his influence in the affairs of man. Then in the book of Numbers, the Bible said that mankind, the children of Israel, refused to believe. I'm talking about God's faithful few. God had delivered them out of Egypt, out of bondage, from under the cruel hands of Pharaoh, brought them to the Red Sea, split the sea in two, and caused them to walk on dry land, allowed Pharaoh and his army to get drowned in the same sea. And when God said it's time to go to the promised land, they were so fearful and faithless that God says in Numbers chapter 32 and verse number 12, I'm going to allow you to circle through this wilderness for 40 years till everybody that is 20 years and above die. God was memorializing his action with the particular number 40. Then when God saw what was going on in Nineveh, God decided he was going to send Jonah to tell the Ninevites that God is a God of mercy, but he's also a God of justice. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4 that God told Jonah to warn the Ninevites, you got 40 days to repent. We keep saying this number 40 coming back. It's a particular number because God is trying to send a message to us. 40 days to repent, or else the wrath of God will come upon you. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking about numbers. And then in Matthew's gospel, the Bible says, when God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to die for us, before Jesus could begin his ministry, God wanted him to fortify himself with the Spirit of God. But to do that, since Jesus, according to Paul, was the second Adam, he had to go through what the first Adam went through to prove to Satan, you got no power over me. So Matthew chapter 4 in verse 2 says that Jesus fasted in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights before he was tempted of the devil. I say, my brothers and sisters, God uses particular particular numbers and times to memorialize his actions and his influence in the affairs of man. And today, I want to ask you, whose number are you working with? Because if you don't understand that God has his particular number, then, my brothers and sisters, you'll be working with a number that will fail you. The Bible says not only does God memorialize his actions through numbers, but God sets his expectations of his creation of mankind by particularizing numbers. In Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 8 through 11, God's expectation for mankind is for them to realize what he did in Genesis chapter number 2 and verse 2 and 3, how he put aside the seventh day. And so in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, God says, remember. Why would he say remember unless he knew and he did know that somebody will forget? When you look at the Ten Commandments found in Exodus chapter 20, God begins with say, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage, out of the house of Egypt. And because I have brought you out, you shouldn't have any reason to have any other gods before me. You shouldn't have any reason to bow down your head and worship any idols or images. You shouldn't have any reason to take my name in vain. What God means is to call yourself a Christian but act like a devil. That's taking his name in vain. And then in the fourth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20 verse 8, God said, because I brought you out of Egypt and because I have delivered you, because I am the deliverer, when you reflect, here's that word, selah, when you meditate upon what I have done, it will help you to remember the seventh day. Here comes that number again, to keep it holy. 6 days, here comes that number again. God says, I'm giving you 6 days to do all your work. But the seventh day is not the Sabbath of the Seventh-day Adventist. Seventh day is not the Sabbath of the Church of God. The seventh day is not the Sabbath of the Seventh-day Baptist or the Seventh-day Pentecostal. Go back and read the text. The Bible says the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh. God is dealing with numbers here, my brothers and sisters. He said, and in it, you shouldn't do any work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger, nor anyone that is within your gifts. And somebody, I guess, had the nerve to ask, why, God? He said, I'm so glad you asked. For in 6 days, God said, I made the heaven and the earth. Oh, bless his name. God tells us why it is important for us to remember that number, the number seven on the seventh day. God said it is not because if you keep the Sabbath, you will be saved. God said if you keep the Sabbath, you are already saved, because it is my children who believe in me, who I have called out of darkness into my marvelous light, will remember what I did for them and what I did for this world. So every Sabbath from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, it is a reflection time and a time for you to step aside from your works and for you to give me glory, because I am the creator of heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in it. And somebody got the nerve to say, you don't have to remember the seventh day anymore because Jesus had died. Jesus' death didn't change the fact that God is the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus' death was not to erase who God is and what God has done. Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. I came to authenticate the fact that it was God who took his own hand and created man, and then he gave man his first kiss when he nefesh in man's body, breathed, and man became to a ruach. Begin to come alive. And my brothers and sisters, I don't know about you, but my question to you today is, whose number are you working with? Because God has his particular number and man has his particular number. God assigned to man 6 days. That's your time. You do your stuff. And then on the seventh day is my time. And man said, no, I'm not going to do that, God, because I don't want to be under your control. So I'm going to establish my own time. And what an insult. What an arrogance in the face of God to say, I'm going to establish my own time and I'm going to establish it on the name of your son who you sent to die to get me out of the mess that I was in the first place. And so they decide that their day is going to be the first day. It's going to be on Sunday. And they got the sorry excuse. Well, we worship on Sunday because Jesus rose on Sunday. Liar, liar, your pants on fire. You don't even have a clue why you worship on Sunday. You worship on Sunday because in 321 AD, Constantine, a Roman Empire, who decided that he was going to do whatever it took to fill the church, to bring the church on his side, and to bring the heathens on his side. He decided he was going to negotiate a time. And he established Sunday worship. And people been worshiping Sunday ever since. I know God didn't do it because Paul, whom God sent to the Gentiles who were not Jews, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13, that Paul went to Antioch and he started to preach powerfully on the Sabbath in the synagogue. You need to go home and read from Acts chapter 11 to 13 and see the works of Paul. Paul is preaching, and the Gentiles, these are not Jews, these are not people that are born to the posterity of Abraham. They have nothing to do with the Mosaic law. These are Gentiles. They came to church on the Sabbath day, and when they heard Paul, they said, now wait a minute, this thing sounds too good. This Jesus thing you're talking about, can you preach to us next Sabbath after you are done with the Jews? And Paul knew that the Sabbath was done away with by Jesus, who arrested him on Damascus Road, Paul would have said, no, the Sabbath is a Jewish thing, but tomorrow is Sunday. I'm going to meet with you. But the Bible, I wish somebody would listen to me. The Bible said that Paul said, yes, I'm going to be here Sabbath after I'm done with the Jews, and then I'm going to preach to your Gentiles. The Jews and the Gentiles understood God's number, the number seven, and they worshiped God until Constantine came around and decided in 321 AD, and you can check it out on Google. You can Google it, and you'll find out that Sunday worship has nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus. I'm talking about God's number. I wish I had time to tell you that not only does God memorialize his influence and his acts in the affairs of mankind by his particularization of numbers and time, but his expectation The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18, here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count, oh, here it comes again, the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to count the numbers. See, a lot of us are counting the wrong numbers. That's why I'm asking you this morning, whose number you working with? Because if you're working with number one, you're working with man's number. If you're working with number six, you're working with man's number. God had given man that number. He said, 6 days you labor and do your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, my Sabbath. And here's the thing that I want you to know, beloved. Go back and read your Bible. God established the Sabbath before there were any Jews. Matter of fact, God established the Sabbath before sin. Oh, bless his name. Sin doesn't come into the world in the redaction of history, biblical history, until you get to Genesis chapter 3. The Sabbath is established in Genesis chapter 2. And so if Jesus came to do away with sin, why would he do away with Sabbath? Sabbath had nothing to do with sin. Sabbath is, turn to your neighbor and say, Sabbath is pre-sin. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. And God ended his work on the seventh day. And God rested on the seventh day. And God blessed the seventh day and holiday. Then you come to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says, and the serpent was more subtle than any other beast in the earth. And he said unto the woman, did God tell you not to eat of any fruits in the garden? The woman said, no, God told us to eat of every fruit, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shouldn't eat it. You know where the woman got that from? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, where God says, don't touch it, don't eat it, lest you die. That was way after Sabbath. Somebody who come talk about, we can't keep the Sabbath because it's a Jew's Sabbath. There was no Jew until Genesis 14. See, our problem is we're not reading scripture. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me. That's what Jesus is talking about. Turn to somebody and say, read for yourself. God said, it's in numbers. You got to watch the numbers. And the question today, my brothers and sisters, I want you to think, whose number are you working with? Number of man is the number of convenience. All the malls are open on Saturday. It's good to go fishing on Saturday. The baseball diamonds are open on Saturday. I work all week, and Saturday is the best day for me to do my stuff. See, mankind said they love God, but they are pimping God. They want to love God on their terms. God, I want you to bless me, and then I'll worship you the way I want to. Turn to your neighbor and say, whose number are you working with? And now, let me bring you to Gideon. I was setting up all of this to let you know that God is very particular with his numbers. Israel has sinned. God sent the Midianites 7 years to put Israel in bondage. The people cried. God heard. God sent Gideon. And the first thing we see in Judges chapter 7, verse 1 is Gideon's contingent. Everybody say contingent. That's his army. That's his group. Gideon has 32,000 people. We find it in Judges chapter 7 and verse 3. 32,000 men. And for Gideon, Elder Prochet, this is a small number because the Midianites got three times that number. And the Bible says God had a concern with Gideon's contingent. Judges chapter 7 and verse 2. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with you are too many. Turn to somebody and say, God's got a concern. I'm so glad that when God calls his people and they decide they're going to serve God on their term, it concerns God. Gideon didn't ask God, God, who do you want me to enlist to work with me? He just went and blew the trumpet. People were coming from everywhere. And God said, I've got a concern, Gideon. The people are too plenty. They're too many. What's the concern? God says, I don't want to deliver the Midianites into your hand by this contingent of people because I don't want them vent themselves against me saying our own hand had saved us. That was the concern. What is God saying? Here's the lesson. Here's the lesson, my brothers and sisters. God is saying, I don't want people keeping the Sabbath and thinking they are saved by the Sabbath. Because Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 is clear, by grace. Oh, bless his name. Are ye saved through faith? It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God says in Isaiah 42 and verse 8, I am God Almighty, and my glory I will not share with anybody else. So Gideon, I've got a concern. Turn to somebody and say, God's got a concern. That's why we got to be careful, those of us who teach Sabbath. We got to make it clear. You are not keeping Sabbath because it will save you. You are keeping Sabbath because only saved people keep it. And we are saved by the grace of God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, who brought you out of darkness, who brought you out of the mess that you were in. Thank God for 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people to show forth the praise of him, watch this, who have call us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It is God who calls us. It is God who saved us. But when God calls us and saves us because of our appreciation of who God is and our love for God, we do what God says. Watch this. If you love me, keep my... I wish somebody would help me preach my little sermon. So God says to Gideon, I got a concern with your contingent. God says to Paul, see, because God will not share his glory with anybody. God was ready to do something mightily with Paul. And God realized Paul was a human being. And it's easy for us to get cocky. Let stuff go to our head. And so God says to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, because of the abundance of the revelation, I put a thorn in your side, the messenger of Satan, to buffet you, lest you be exalted above measure. I wish somebody was listening to me. God said, Paul, because of what I am about to do through your blessed name, I thank God that he places a governor on his people. When I worked at Pennsylvania Hospital years ago, before I came into ministry, I was managing the parking system for Pennsylvania Hospital, and they gave me a company car. I had a company car, Elder Prochet, I had gas card. I never bought gas. And since the statute of limitation has passed, I can testify now. And whenever I went to the hood, I told all my boys, I'm going to put the cart in, and when my tank is full, I'm going to just move and you bring yours, and we fill it all up. That was B.C., before Christ. But what I didn't realize, one day I had gone somewhere, and I've stayed too long, and they paged me. We didn't have cell phones those days. We had a beeper, and they needed me back at the office. And I started speeding. And every time I pressed the gas, I just heard, I kept looking at the speedometer, and that thing was on 65. Because that was the speed limit on 95 in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. And I press it, 65. Then I got to the office, and I asked somebody, I said, now this car, it seems like it, I keep pressing it. It's on 65. And they said, yeah, Pastor, it's got a governor on. I said, what's a governor? It's something that the manufacturer and the company allow them to put on the car, so no matter how much you press it, you don't go over 65 because they're not paying a ticket for your crazy self. My brothers and sisters, God, when he calls us, he puts a governor on us so that we are not exalted above measure. God said, I will not share my glory with nobody. Paul said, he put a thorn in my flesh, lest I be exalted above measure. So God says to Gideon, I've got a concern. The people are too many. Oh, but I'm so glad that when God has a concern with his people, he just doesn't keep it to himself. He counsels them. Turn to somebody and say, he counseled Gideon. God says to Gideon, go and proclaim to the people. Just say to them, anyone who is fearful and afraid, go back home. And all of a sudden, the Bible says 22,000. Here's the lesson. God cannot work with people who are fearful. People who are afraid to do what God has called them to do. And let me tell you something that I learned, and I've noticed it through these 19 plus years that God has blessed me to pastor. And that is, everyone you count, you cannot count on. All right. Somebody missed that. Let me run it again. Stop, rewind, and hit play. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, everybody you count, you cannot count on. 32,000 people. As soon as Gideon said, who's scared? And that's how the church is. Everybody you count, you can't count on. We're going to have a revival, and we're asking everyone, oh yeah, Pastor. Then only 20 people show up. You can count them. You cannot always count on them. So God said, Gideon, proclaim the people who are fearful, the people who are wishy-washy. Tell them, go home. And 22,000 people went home. I thank God that when God counsels his people, the people that love God will comply with the counsel. I wish somebody was listening to me. Gideon talked to people. God says, Gideon, there are not enough. I've counseled you. You've complied with the counsel. You've made the proclamation. 22,000 people are gone. 10,000 are left, but there are still too many. So now I'm going to give you my certification method. Somebody say a certification method. In other words, I'm going to show you how I certify people that I bona fide to work for me. He said, take them to the water. He said, and tell them drink. He said, and everyone who laps the water, put them on one side. And everyone who bowed down, put them on another side. Here's what was going on. God was saying, everyone who laps. You know, when a dog is lapping, the dog is not concerned about what drops from his mouth and gets back in the water. The dog is satisfied with what it has taken in. God is saying, the people that I want you to take with you are the people who are not in it for what they can get. Because the people that are bowing down, they are making sure they can get all the water that they can. They're not worried about the enemy. They're not worried about what's going on around. And isn't that how the church is? It's all about me. I'm not coming back to the church because I paid my tithe and my offering and my house got flooded and they ain't give me no money. What's in it for me? I'm not coming back to that church because all the stuff that I did for the 10 years I did it, I was the first to show up in the morning and the first to leave and last to leave at night. And the pastor got up there and was giving kudos to everybody and he ain't even remember me. They're bowing down to self. God said, Gideon, I'm going to certify the people by this method. Those people who are not in it for what they can get. Those people who are not in it because it will benefit them. Those people who are bowing down to self. I want you to put them on one side. And the people who will just take what they need to do the work. The people who will not be so concerned about themselves, but will be looking around to see where the enemy's camp is for them to defeat, to defend the kingdom of God. Is anybody listening to me? Those are the people that I want you to carry. And the Bible says that 300 people fit the category. And the rest of the people, 9,700. I'm talking about a few faithful people. God says to Gideon, this is my choice. These are the people that I'm going to work with. I stopped by to tell somebody today, don't look or wait for the crowd. Because God is not working with the crowd. God is looking for a faithful few who are not concerned about what's in it for them, who are kingdom focused and kingdom ready to do whatever it takes for the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Those are the people that God is looking for. And I'm so glad that when God made his choice, the Bible says he covered them and cared for them. Watch this, watch this, watch this. If you read Judges chapter 7, when you go home, and verse number 8, it said the people took lamps. Turn to somebody and say, that's the light of the word. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. David says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They took lamps and trumpets. Who's going to fight a war with a fortified army with lamps and trumpets? Oh, but my brothers and sisters, when God chooses you, when he certifies you, he will cover you and care for you and cater to you that you will not need to fight the battle. Because it is God who fights the battle. God said, what I want you to do is shine the light, blow the trumpet. It sounds like praise to me. It sounds like hallelujah to me. God says, I want you to blow the trumpet. I want you to turn on the light. And all of a sudden, the Midianites got confused. They got discombobulated. They started to kill each other, fight amongst themselves, and destroy each other. I stopped by to tell somebody that the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. You can have your contention, but God will have a concern and give you a counsel, and you have to comply with God. And when you comply with God, God will certify those who he has chosen to go with you, and God will cover you so that you can be careful. Don't have to fight the battle, just have to celebrate the victory. Is that two people in here who can say, I don't need a fight, I just need to celebrate? Get up on your feet and begin to praise God with me. Gideon won the battle. God turned the Midianites into his hand because God has certified him and God had covered him. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord. Is there two people in here who can testify the battle is the Lord? Shout, it is. Gideon is not lifting a sword. He's not lifting a shield. And I stopped by to tell somebody, when God sends us out in this community, when God sends us back to our homes, to our families, to our schools, to our jobs, to people who don't know him, we don't have to fight. We just have to hold up the light and praise God with the trumpet. Talk about his goodness. Talk about his mercy. Talk about his long suffering. Say, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Say, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Say, when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, because it is God. By grace am I saved. It is not by works, lest anyone should boast. Aren't you glad that we are not saved by keeping the Sabbath, but we keep the Sabbath because we are saved? Are there three people up in here who's not ashamed to say, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Somebody shout, I'm saved. Lift up the light. Blow the trumpet of worship and praise. And God will win the battle. I don't know if you heard anything I said today, but I got a little question I want to ask you. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he deliver us? Won't he heal us? Won't he restore us? Turn to somebody and say, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Say yes. I'm done. Whose number are you working with? God's number is 7. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Show out. Lift up. Shine the light. And God will draw his people to the light. And if I be lifted up, I draw men or women or boys and girls unto me. I'm opening the doors of the church. Everybody's standing. Everybody's standing. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And sinners plunged beneath that flood. They don't just lose some. They don't lose most. They lose all their guilty stain. And God is calling somebody today. Come on, join.
And sinners plunged beneath that flood. Lose all their guilty stain.
Lose all.
Lose all their guilty stain. Lose all their guilty stain.
And sinners.
And sinners plunged beneath that.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Somebody's getting saved right now. Bless you, Lord. Somebody's making a decision to join God's army. Somebody is making a choice right now. Somebody is saying, I want to keep God's holy Sabbath. I want to keep it not because it saves me, but because I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I want to be totally obedient to God. Somebody wants to say, if I got to be a part of the faithful few, if that's what it takes, that's what I want to be. Will you come? Will you come? The gates, the doors of the church is open. God is calling you. You want to say, God, I want to work with your number. Beneath that flood,
lose all their guilty stain.
The dying thief.
The dying thief.
Rejoice to see.
Rejoice to see.
That fountain.
That fountain. Turn in his death.
And there may I, though vile as he.
And there may I, though vile as he.
Wash all my sins away. Come on, somebody. Make a move right now. Make a move. Make a move. Make a move. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. Make a move right now. God is saying, proclaim to the people and say, those who are fearful and afraid, let them leave. Take them to the water and I will try them there for thee. Those who lap like a dog lappeth, them will you put on one side, and those who bow their knees, you will put them on another side. God is calling somebody today. He's saying, come. Come. I'll work it out. I know you're worrying about your work, your job on Saturday. I'll work it out. I know you're worried about what your spouse, what your parents, what your family was. I'll work it out. I know you're worrying about what your pastor will say. Tell your pastor, I'm not working with man's number anymore. I'm working with God's number. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Now I'm making an appeal for somebody who just want to renew their commitment. You say, God, I want to renew my commitment and my relationship with you. God, I love you, God. I want to be faithful. Would you come? You want to be a part of Gideon's army in this church, in this community, in this city, where we're going to bring down the walls of ancient Rome. We're going to tell people that God is still in the saving business. Would you come? You got a church home, but you want to transfer your membership. These are all of the opportunities. You want to transfer. You want to be a part of this community of believers. You want to worship here. You want to work here. You want to serve here. We're inviting you to come as well. Yahweh, I pray now for that man, that woman, that boy, that girl who's struggling, who's saying, I don't know if I can make this move right now. God, loose their feet so they can walk, God. Move their heart so they can make a decision. God, do for them what only you can do. Don't let this revival pass until they make a decision to follow you all the way. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody put their hands together.